In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We observe a lot of firsts in our life, like our first steps, our first car, or the first steps and birth of our children. For some of you, this past week marked the first days of study here at the seminary. You'll experience lots of firsts in your ministry as well. Some of them you remember, others you won't. I don't remember the first baptism I administered or the first wedding at which I officiated, but I do remember my first funeral, or more precisely, my first committal. It was January 1988 on a cold, windswept cemetery in Milwaukee. The wind chill, 30 degrees below zero. I had already calculated that because of the need to turn pages in my agenda, I wouldn't be able to wear gloves. What I hadn't considered was that the family of the deceased would naturally huddle together with their backs to the wind, meaning that if I was to face them while I spoke, I would have to face the wind. The barrenness of that place provided a perfect setting for one of the readings in the committal service. It's from John 12, words we just heard, the appointed gospel for this day. In this text, our Lord gives an object lesson which essentially says this: in order for a seed to grow into a plant, it must first die. You literally have to put it into the earth and bury it. Farmers and gardeners know what this is all about. They do it regularly with confidence that what they bury in the earth will sprout and eventually grow to maturity. Jesus, of course, was speaking about his death, how he would have to be buried in the belly of the earth. This wasn't the first time Jesus had predicted his death, but you have to wonder, though, what he was thinking. After all, this was Jerusalem, which was filling up with visitors from around the Mediterranean, preparing to celebrate another Passover. And among those visitors were some Greek-speaking Jews who had heard of Jesus. They wanted to meet him. So they search out Philip. Philip finds Andrew, and together they approach Jesus. So how does our Lord treat these prospects? He talks about his impending death. And he tells them that if you're going to follow him, you have to prepare to die with him. That's hardly what I would call an ideal sales pitch from a seminary recruiter. Today, we observe the Festival of the Holy Cross. Unlike other festivals on our calendar, the origins of this one actually are pretty easy to determine, though perhaps the whole purpose is a little more dubious. The year was 325, etched in your minds as the year when the Council of Nicaea met to wrestle with the Arian controversy. But also in that year, a true piece of the cross of Christ was found. Now, how they were certain it was a true piece of the cross, I don't know. Perhaps it had something to do with the fact that it was discovered during a pilgrimage by Helena, mother of Constantine the Emperor, to the Holy Land. I suspect that if she decided it was a true piece, then it was. After all, no one questions the Queen Mother. On this site, a church was built, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And dedicated 10 years after the discovery on this date, September 14th. By the time of Luther, there were so many pieces of the true cross floating around Europe that probably several real-life crosses could have been constructed from all of the pieces. One of the gifts of the Reformation was to do away with all of the superstitions surrounding relics, precisely so that the true meaning of the cross of Christ could shine forth clearly. So we don't shy away from that proclamation. Rather, as we pray to today's collect, we glory in the death of Jesus for our redemption and salvation. And as the Apostle Paul makes so clear in his letter to the church in Corinth, the word of the cross is the power of God to those who are being saved. Hence, we have no reservations about preaching Christ crucified, certainly a stumbling block to many, an utter folly. In that light, Jesus' words of welcome to those Greek-speaking Jews makes complete sense. To follow Jesus means to go with him to his grave, to lose your life with him. But as surely as our Lord rose victorious from the grave, as surely as that seed that is planted in the ground sprouts up to new life, so do we approach our grave and the graves of loved ones with the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body to everlasting life. As pledge of that hope, Jesus now calls on you to come to him, to feast on his body and blood for forgiveness and life. For as often as we do this, we remember his death until he comes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.